Hey there, you're listening to Sentinel Watch, a weekly production of the Christian Science Sentinel, and I'm your host, Jenny Sawyer. Today we're going to be talking about a topic that might be new to some. It's something called oneness, and understanding more about it can lead to more effective healing. Our guest today, Christian Science practitioner Beth Packer from Barrie, New South Wales, Australia, is here to tell us more, starting with an experience she had that helped her get a clearer grasp of what oneness really means.
Some friends and I were visiting a friend of ours, actually. She lives down on the south coast, beautiful south coast of Australia in the mountains, on a goat farm. And of an evening, since it was spring, all the babies were being born in the paddocks, and it was our job to go out and find the babies and the mothers and bring them into the barn so that they were safe and warm of a night. And as we were doing this, we found all the mothers and we found all the babies except one. And as search as we could, we just could not find this darling little creature anywhere. And it was getting dark and it was getting cold, and it was wise for us to all go inside. But the thought of leaving this dear little thing out in the forest or in the paddocks unfound and by itself just didn't sit right with me. So I just, as I'm standing there and the sun is dimming, and I just thought, I don't know where this little one is, but God knows. I will just leave it with God. And it just turned straight to God, wholeheartedly to God. God knew where it was, and I knew that. And immediately, the response in my thought was, if I know, you know. And I knew that was God. It wasn't my thoughts. It was my one-ment with the divine mind, with the divine consciousness. And without even averting my gaze, changing in any way where I was looking, I saw the baby in front of me, and we could take it in, and it was safe. But that message, if I know, you know, has resonated with me from that time on, because it wasn't like God was telling me something and I was going off and obeying or doing it. It wasn't that at all. It was that I was utterly at one with God. I was conscious of what God was conscious of. And God had never lost sight of his dear little ones, none of them. And if God knew where it was, I knew where it was.
Mm.
What I got out of that, Jenny, was it taught me to recognize God in my own thinking. It just carried with it, such a weight of oneness, of this sort of tender relationship or this tender unity with God that probably more than I've ever felt at any other time. It was precious. It was precious to me. And the little goat was found and safe.
Mm. Thank you for sharing that. I love that. And I'd love to just delve a little bit more into the meaning of some of what you're talking about. You clearly have a context for understanding God in a very particular way. Your background is as a Christian scientist, so maybe you could share a little bit about what is it about what you've learned about God through your study and practice of Christian science that even had you turning to God in the first place when the little baby goat was missing?
Hmm. Yeah, that's a good thought. That growing up in Christian science, you just do have this sense that God is always with you. And it's because good is always with us. God and good are synonyms all the way through the Bible. That is how God is identified. So I just grew up knowing that the good that was with me was God with me. And the Bible says that God is love. So I grew up knowing I was loved, and if I was loved, it was God. God knew me and God loved me, I suppose the same way as he did that little goat on that day. But it was a a constant comfort to grow up with that tender thought that God knew me truly and loved me deeply. You know, it's very uniting. It is just with you everywhere you go, particularly in the hard times. You know, often as a teenager, I'd often think, well, at least God knows me and loves me. And it did get me through the hard times. Mm. And it's a lovely way to think about God.
So then you were bringing in this other element when you turned in prayer to God in this moment of seeking the baby goat, and the thought that came to you was, if I know, you know. And that, I think, brings out another dimension of God. I mean, certainly love is part of that, but maybe you can explain a little bit more about, it almost sounds like you and God have the same mind in a way.
That's what was coming out of it. It was just getting down to not even thinking about God, but thinking as God.
Mm.
And that is a divine consciousness. That's a divine state of consciousness in which we do find this sense of God, and what that term means. And I mean, it's absolutely, I think, pivotal, and I think that's what you're really bringing out here. What is that term God? What does it mean to me? If you get that right, it's a bit like understanding the principle of mathematics. If you understand that right, you get your sums right.
Hmm.
The law of aerodynamics, if we know that, our planes will fly, or, you know, we can send a rocket ship to the moon. Even in a building, you know, they seem to stand up with physics. It's not actually the stone and the steel that holds them there. It's the underlying laws. Well, one of the things, Mary Baker Eddy, who was the founder of Christian Science, I think it's one of the most wonderful and powerful aspects to God that she brought out, was God as principle. God is law, the law that governs life. And, you know, I think in every aspect we actually do know that law underpins every action. God is the law, the principle of life that makes life work rightly. And the Bible tells us that that law is love. Mm. Love makes life work rightly. But it is a law. It is constant. It is dependable. It is invariable, and it is provable. And that Mary Baker Eddy brought out that aspect in her discovery in the science of Christianity, I think, is utterly invaluable, because it's so transforming to our own life and it brings such a sureness. God's love for us is as dependable as math. And that's something that I have always, you know, endeavored as much as I can to rely on in all moments.
I'm really interested in this piece that you were bringing out just before your discussion of principle, about thinking as God. And maybe we could help our listeners understand a little bit more about what that means about our relationship to God, because I think understanding the nature of that relationship is kind of going to be the basis for the things that we go on to talk about in this conversation. And, you know, we're clearly, and you're clearly not saying that we are somehow mini gods or part of God in a way. So what is the nature of this relationship?
Well, I think Jesus said it perfectly. He said, of my own self, I can do nothing. And that underpinned his successful healing career. And it's also true for us as well. What I try and do is not think about what do I know about God, but what does God know?
Mm.
And that is getting me out of the way, because the human's full of beliefs and fears and, you know, hopes and dreams, and sometimes we get it right and sometimes we get it wrong. But to get that out of the way and just simply go, what does God know? And you're getting down to, what does love know? What does principle know? You're getting into that consciousness that is divine. It's like immersing ourselves into the principle of mathematics we going to get our sums right. We're going to understand how it works. But what that little goat incident did with me, for me, when I hear good ideas, when they come to me, I recognize it, not as me thinking them, but that is me being at one with God, with truth, with love, with this mind that is principle. If a clever idea comes to me, or a new bright idea, I recognize it as God. I don't claim it. I recognize it as God. I recognize that I'm at one with God at those times. It makes me feel so close to God.
You're reminding me of an incident that I hadn't thought about in a while, but it makes me smile in light of what you're sharing, because when I was in college, I had a friend who was just kind of interested in spiritual things. And so she'd ask me about Christian Science from time to time. And I was once working on a really challenging essay, and she asked me, you know, oh, are you praying about that? How are you thinking about that? And I just shared that I was so grateful to know that every good idea comes from God. And she was like, oh, I do not like that. And I said, why? And she said, well, because when I have a good idea, I want credit for it.
Yeah.
But, you know, it really kind of stunned me, because having grown up as a Christian Scientist, I was so used to associating good ideas with God, and also to know that that was always the source that I could turn to, and it was infinite. And I remember saying to her, gosh, you know, I find it really reassuring, because then I know I'm not just depending on myself and whether I can come up with something good or not. But I think that this gets to the point that you're talking about, that this isn't just some kind of theological construct. There is a real power and comfort to recognizing the relationship that we have with God as you're articulating it.
Yeah, I think that's exactly right.
So on a practical level, like day to day, if you had to articulate for listeners how you experience your oneness with God, so maybe they could kind of keep an eye out for those times when they're experiencing it, what would you say are examples of that?
I had a sweet little incident, actually. It was just at home. Every morning, my husband, because he knows that I like to be quiet in the morning and do my study and just prepare for my day, he brings me in a cup or all breakfast so that I can just, you know, remain there for a while longer.
Aw.
Yeah, it's nice, isn't it? And every day I say thank you to him. But one day I just said, thank you, God, for this good man. And the thought that came back immediately was, no, Beth, that's me. That's me loving you. And it just helped me to recognize that good action, loving action, kind action is God in action. And we are that action. We are love loving, truth being truthful, mind being intelligent.
A word that keeps coming to mind as you're talking is the word source. And for me, that's always been a really helpful way to understand this concept of oneness, that as you were explaining with your husband, that the love that you were seeing expressed has its source in God. And once again, it puts God in the center of things. And we see the expression of love in many, many different ways in our lives. But ultimately, the source always goes back to divine love, rather than, you know, kind of this individual sense of, well, I express love in this way and that person has their love and, you know, that person over there maybe is expressing a little less love, that kind of thing.
Yep.
You know, one quality that I want to touch on in relation to that idea of source is health, because I think this is a place where we really struggle with this feeling of separateness and like, okay, I have my own body, my own life. My body can go off and do whatever, experience illness. And that really, I think, runs counter to this idea of oneness that you're talking about. But from what you're saying, we could go so far as to say that, you know, even health has its source in God. And because we are one with this divine source, then we must have this steady, stable, constant source of health. And I'm wondering if there is a particular physical healing you might have to share that kind of helps, you know, demonstrate that for our audience.
Yeah, the one that comes to mind, there was a time when I developed, it seemed to be sciatica. And it was so extreme that I was starting to not be able to walk very well. I was in a lot of pain. And, you know, so as a practicing Christian Scientist, to treat it with the truth of what I knew to be what God was doing. And I knew that in every place, truth was still true. All right ideas were in their right place. You know, was there a place where truth wasn't true? Was there a place where God was not loving me? You know, as we grow up in Sunday school and know that lovely little saying, is there a spot where God is not? No, there isn't. And so right where I was feeling this great pain, I was endeavoring to replace it with true ideas that right there, right where the body was screaming at me saying, you know, you're in pain and you're in difficulty, I'd say, no, God is there because God fills all space and truth is there. But it hurts so much. I said, how come this hurts so much if all this is true? And the thought that came straight back was in the form of a question. And it said, Beth, can you prove a place or even feel a place where an error exists? Like, you know, 2 and 2 equals 3. Can you show a place or prove a place where that error actually exists? Can you show evidence of it? Can you feel evidence of something that is not true? And I thought, actually, I can't do that. I cannot. It is scientifically impossible for me to find a place, to experience a place, to find the evidence of a place where a mistake is actually happening. And I thought, I can't do that. That is actually impossible for anyone to do. Even if I really, really believe that 2 and 2 equals 3 or that the earth was flat, there is actually no evidence of it because it isn't true. It is the reverse of what's true. It's the wrong idea about what's there, right there. The truth is perfectly functioning. You don't even have to know the full extent of what that truth is. You just have to know that the truth is true, it is perfectly functioning and harmonious, and no matter what you believe or don't believe, you can't change the truth and you can't show evidence of error, of a mistaken way of thinking about things. And the moment that I accepted that logic, it was healed instantly. It just stopped, which really does show how much of what we're experiencing is thought, what we're accepting for ourselves. And the truth, when known, does make us free.
Thank you for sharing that, Beth. That's a wonderful healing. And the thing that was striking me about it as you were talking was that, you know, looking around you, that logic might not have added up so much. I mean, you could look around at the world and say, well, I see all sorts of errors, mistakes, you know, things that are going wrong. But you were clearly relying on a different perspective on things.
Well, I think it's like the Bible. To me, the Bible is, there's a very strong theme through it. And it says, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are unseen, because the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are unseen are eternal. And it, to me, you know, I use a math analogy a lot because I just find it's something that we can all understand, its logic. But if we get our sums wrongly, our calculations, we miscalculate, we can seem to feel the discord of it. You know, nothing's going to work out rightly. If we start with a wrong idea, we're going to end up with wrong conclusions. There's not even much use in going back and thinking, well, why did I think that way? What caused that way of thinking? The solution lies in going to the principle and working till we better understand the truth of the matter. And that truth, once we've got that true fact in mind, never again are we going to experience that inharmony. But even the whole time that if we thought 2 and 2 equals 3, even the whole time it is 4, the truth is in place and the only thing that is happening, the only thing that's governing. So even then, the discordant experience is a part of thought, not actually reality. Reality is truth.
Mm.
We only have what's true. That's scientific. That's logical. And when you clear away the fears, the illogicalities, the preconception, the human history of thinking, you clear away and you just get down to solidly what is true. That is what that term God means. In every situation. And that is the God of the Bible.
Mm.
That across the thousands of years, those people were relying on something in the most extreme situations, something non-physical. They were turning from the physical to the principle of life, to the truth of life, to God. They were proving that they, when they were relying on this spiritual force, this God principle, that it was bringing healing and saving experiences into their lives. You know, whether it be sickness or whether it be poverty or whether it be danger. In fact, there's not really anything that we're going through now that they didn't go through in biblical times and come out victorious. And I think that's, to me, why the Bible is so immeasurably relevant to today, because it's showing us with tenacity, with faithfulness, with inspiration, with holiness, we can be at one with that God absolutely constantly.
What would you say to someone, Beth, who feels like, well, you're good at listening to God, you know, but when I try to listen to God, I don't hear anything?
Look, honestly, you do hear that quite a bit. Or I don't feel close to God. And I think it's when we identify right ideas or wrong ideas as ourselves, then we can feel separate to God. We're claiming them. But when you recognize that every good idea we have is God, as we said, but also every right motive, you know, even when we organize, keep our house tidy, or, you know, we're principled, or we drive lawfully, or we're kind, all those things are God expressions. And we are God expressing himself, God being good, love being loving, truth being honest, and principle being orderly. That is God.
Mm.
It is absolutely impossible for us to be separated from God. But how do we differentiate, I think, too, is something that you're asking. And I know my sister always says to me, I know myself. She says, I identify myself when I know that only God's thoughts are my thoughts. The rest are not. and those I separate from me.
Mm.
Only God's thoughts are me. And I think that's a lovely way to feel or to regain that sense of closeness to God.
Beth, it's been wonderful to talk with you today. Thank you so much for being here.
Oh, it's been my absolute pleasure, Jenny, and thank you for all that you do.
I've been speaking with Beth Packer, a Christian Science practitioner from Barrie, New South Wales, Australia. And thanks for listening to Sentinel Watch, a weekly production of the Christian Science Sentinel. I'm Jenny Sawyer.
This podcast is produced and copyrighted by the Christian Science Publishing Society.